Well, it is good to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Stand among the congregation and hear the songs of salvation. And it is a joy to be able to be with you today, this morning, and to share with you the Word of God. I want you to know it is a tremendous privilege and a responsibility, and it is one that I feel the full weight of, to faithfully speak the oracles of God is a task far beyond the right of any human to presume, and far beyond the ability of any man to perform. And so I stand here this morning in firm reliance on the Spirit of God to overcome every obstacle, strengthen every weakness, and enliven every soul by His grace alone. And so, to the book of Deuteronomy, we're going to be looking at Deuteronomy chapter 32, this morning, just three verses. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 45 through 47. What we're going to look at this morning is Moses' final words to the nation of Israel. Moses' final words will serve as my first words to you, and this is actually a very fitting time to consider Moses' words this morning. As Agatha Christie, the famous novelist, once wrote, "The beginning is often the best time to think about the end. In fact, sometimes the best endings serve as the very best beginnings." And that really is true, because often the endings get to the very heart of the matter. The ending is where it all takes place, where the most important things happen and the most important words are spoken. I still remember some of the excerpts of the final words that my grandfather, Paul Dudenhofer, spoke to me before he passed away when I drove him to one of his last doctor's appointments. When sharing with him about this cute blonde girl that I had met at college, my wife, just to clarify, he said, "Love her with everything you've got." When recalling one of my first sermons that he heard me preach, he said, "Continue to study hard." When reminiscing on the impact that his life had had on the community in which he had lived, he said, "Keep a faithful testimony." When hearing that I was reading through the book of Revelation for my devotions, he said, "Jesus is coming soon. Seek after heaven." As I look back, the ending of my grandfather's ministry on earth was the perfect beginning for me. It was the very best beginning. Why? Because it spoke to the very heart of the matter. The most important words were spoken. Sometimes the best endings do serve as the very best beginnings. And that's actually the context of the passage that we're going to look at this morning from the book of Deuteronomy. Moses here in this passage is delivering his final words to the nation of Israel, to God's people who are about to embark on a new journey into the promised land by faith. And Moses wanted his final words to be the foundation for their new beginning. And I pray that will definitely be the case here as we study Moses' final words this morning from Deuteronomy 32, 45 through 47. If we as God's people can take Moses' final words to heart, then we can start off with a basis for a new right beginning also. And Moses' final words are all wrapped up in the call to take God's word to heart. You see that in verse 46 of our passage where Moses says, "Take to heart all the words by which I am warning you today." That is the central thought. It's the central thrust of this passage upon which everything else hangs. And from this central thought, we see two main points arise. First, from verses 45 into the beginning of verse 46, we'll see the reminder to take God's word to heart. And then at the end of verse 46 into verse 47, we will see the reasons to take God's word to heart. So the reminder followed by the reasons why we ought to take God's word into our hearts. So with that in mind, let's read Deuteronomy 32, verses 45 through 47. Deuteronomy 32, 45 through 47. And when Moses had finished speaking all these words to all Israel, he said to them, "Take to heart all the words by which I am warning you today, that you may command them to your children, that they may be careful to do all the words of this law. For it is no empty word for you, but your very life. And by this word you shall live long in the land that you are going over the Jordan to possess." This is the word of God to which we turn our feet towards when we think on our ways. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word this morning. Father, we understand that wisdom cries, that you are crying to us this morning. Oh, simple ones, be wise. Oh, foolish ones, understand. Even this morning, Father, we acknowledge that this morning you may be saying, "Oh, dead ones, arise." And so, Father, we pray that you would do your work this morning in our midst by your grace, by your Spirit, through your word. Help us, O Lord, to take all these words to heart. For it is our very life. Give us grace. May we honor you by how we heed your word this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name, for his honor and glory. Amen. So here in Deuteronomy 32, Moses is finishing up his final words to the nation of Israel. And when you read through this book, you need to understand that sometimes it feels like the longest goodbye as you're reading through Deuteronomy. And Moses is slowly building up, and he is narrowing everything down to an exact needle point of application. The one lesson he wants the nation to remember. Chapter 1, verse 6 begins very generally by saying that this entire book is Moses undertaking to explain the law. It is Moses giving his last retelling of the law, of the commandments that God gave him to communicate to the nation of Israel. And this he does from chapter 1 into chapter 30 of Deuteronomy. And Moses comes to the end of it all by giving, in the last two verses of chapter 30, the most stirring and fitting conclusion any pastor could ever give to any sermon ever. Moses says this, "I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Therefore, choose life that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him, for he is your life and length of days." Boy, that's good. I mean, just mic drop it right there, Moses, and walk away. It's fantastic. But Moses doesn't do that. He's still got more to say. Believe it or not, he has yet not come to the point, to the heart of the matter. So in chapter 31, verses 1 and following, Moses continues to speak. In verse 14 of chapter 31, he commissions Joshua to lead. In verse 19 of chapter 1 and following, he creates a song that's recorded for us in chapter 32 to use in worship. And then in verse 24 and following, in chapter 31, Moses writes down all the words that he had spoken, it says, to the very end. And so I want you to picture that this morning before we dive into this passage. Moses finishes the very last mark of the pen. He hands it to the Levites to lock up in the Ark of the Testimony. And after teaching them the song that he had written, he turns to the assembled congregation of Israel, and lifting up his voice, he speaks these immortal words. Take to heart all the words by which I am warning you today, that you may command them to your children, that they may be careful to do all the works of this law, all the words of this law. For it is no empty word for you, but your very life. And by this word you shall live long in the land that you are going over to possess. This is the very heart of the matter. These are the most important words, and the great need for every soul to hear the word of God and take it to heart. Moses delivers first to the nation of Israel the reminder to take God's word to heart. There in verse 45 and at the beginning of verse 46, it says, "And when Moses had finished speaking all these words to all Israel, he said to them, 'Take to heart all the words by which I am warning you today.'" Moses calls all of God's people to hear all of God's word and to take them all to heart. Now that word heart is something that Moses talks a whole bunch about in the book of Deuteronomy. It's mentioned 47 times, and it is the word levav in the Hebrew. It's a biblical term that means your entire inner person. Your heart is the control center for all of your thinking, emotions, and will. It is the inner part of yourself that controls your speech, your focus, and your behavior on a daily basis. In short, your heart is who you really are, deep down on the inside. It's the hidden person of the heart, which no one can see except God. And yet it's also that part of you that everyone can see, because as Proverbs 4 verse 23 says, out of the heart flows all the issues of life. Your heart is that part about you that affects everything about you. And that's why it's the most important part about you. Why? Because it is what God alone looks at. We don't have time to look at it this morning, but if we had time to go through the entire book of Deuteronomy, Moses makes it very clear by his recitation of the blessings and the curses in Deuteronomy chapter 11 that Israel as a nation would either be blessed or be cursed based on what was in their hearts. If they as a people turned aside in their heart and went and served other gods or worshiped God grudgingly, not from the heart, they would be cursed. But if they loved the Lord their God and served him joyfully and gladly with all of their heart and all of their soul, they would be blessed. Why? Because 1 Samuel 16:7 says that the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks where? At the heart. At the heart. Therefore, your heart, I want you to know this morning, believer and unbeliever, your heart, who you really are, deep down, before God, on the inside, is the most important part about you. It doesn't matter what your parents think about you. It doesn't matter what your church thinks about you. It doesn't matter what your spouse thinks about you. It doesn't matter what anybody thinks about you. What matters is, who does God know you to be? Deep down on the inside. What is the state of your heart before God this morning? That's why Moses repeatedly says throughout the book of Deuteronomy, take care, beware, lest your heart be lifted up, lest you say in your heart. In other words, take care of your heart. Pay attention to your heart. When Moses comes to the end of it all, he says, make sure your heart is right before God. Here Moses says that you've got to take God's word to heart. That's how you're to do it. How do you make sure that your heart is right before God? By taking God's word to heart. That word take means to hold towards. It's just like what many of you did perhaps back on the 4th of July. Someone was holding a sparkler, and what did you do? You took a lighter and you held the lighter up to the sparkler until suddenly the flame had its desired effect, right? The sparkler came to life. That's exactly what we're supposed to do with our hearts. We're to keep on holding God's word up to our hearts until finally God's word has its intended effect. As Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 4, verse 15, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture. Practice these things. Immerse yourselves in them so that all may see your progress. That's what Moses is saying here. Take up the word of God and don't just pick it up, read it really quickly, and put it away. Hold it continually up to your heart. Think about it. Meditate on it. Memorize it. Until it has its intended effect in your life. Until it sets fire to your heart and puts a fire in your bone. Don't stop holding God's word to your heart. As the psalmist says in Psalms 119:97, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. And notice in passing, Moses says, take to heart all the words by which I am warning you today. Not just some of them, all of them. Just as Jesus said in Matthew 28, verse 20, observe all that I have commanded you. And again in Revelation 22, verse 7, recorded at the very end of the Bible, behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is everyone who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. If God's word is going to have its full effect in our lives, then we must experience its full exposure. Believer, are you exposing yourself to the fullness of the Word of God? You see, I, as a follower of Jesus Christ and as a worshiper of God, cannot limit my exposure to God's Word simply to daily bread readings or to devotional excerpts or to certain favorite verses and passages. I must hold all of God's word up to my heart so that the whole counsel of God can be shaping and molding and setting my heart on fire. So this is the reminder to take God's word to heart, believer. Hold God's word up to your heart. Don't ever let it depart. Take to heart all the words that I am warning you, by which I am warning you today. That brings us next to the reasons to take God's word to heart. Why ought we to be so persistent in exposing our heart to the words of God? Moses gives three reasons why we ought to hold God's word up to our heart this morning. Continually hold it up. The first is because of its commission. Because of its commission. That's at the end of verse 46. Moses says, you ought to take to heart all the words by which I am warning you today. Why? That you may command them to your children, that they may be careful to do all the words of this law. Here, Moses reminds us that receiving the truth of God's word comes with a responsibility. And that responsibility is to pass it on, to not let it die in you. Truth comes with a commission. It's just like what we learned 2 months ago when I was last with you from Luke 8, verse 16, that we are to listen in order to share. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar, puts it under a bed, but he puts it on a stand so that all may see its light. Once we have received the truth of God's word, we are responsible to share it with others. This is at the heart of the Great Commission that Jesus gave to all believers in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20, where he said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And then he says this, listen, does this sound like Moses' words? Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Jesus is the God of the Old Testament. We ought to take God's word to heart because truth always comes with a responsibility. It always comes with a commission. It comes with a great commission to pass it on. And Moses reminds us here that that Great Commission starts where? Believers, if we could get this truth that frankly has been lost in American churches for far too long. The Great Commission starts where? In the home. We are to take to heart all of God's word. Why? So that you can command it to your children, that they may be careful to do all the words of this law. You ought to be constantly holding God's word up close to your heart. Why? So that you can hold God's word up close to the hearts of your children. Do all you can. Parents, specifically, this is the initial application. Do all you can to fan into flame the fire of your own faith so that perhaps by God's grace, He can use you to light the kindle of your own children's hearts. As Deuteronomy 6, 6 through 7 says, these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lay down and when you rise. You can only do it if you know God's word. If you yourself are taking it to heart. Beloved, do not neglect your own children. I know this is only my first week here, but can I say, I fear for you, Grace Chapel. I fear for your families just as much as I fear for my own. Why? Because the truth is always just one generation away from being lost. And Israel saw it. That was what Moses was warning them about. Israel saw it from the time of the judges, on into the kings, on into the prophets. Just think about it. An estimated 1 million or more Israelites passed through the Red Sea, came out on the other side, and declared that they were 100% wholeheartedly devoted to God in faith. In just a few short 100 years, only 7,000 had not bowed the knee to Baal. Truth is always just one generation from being lost. Scripture records it. And I've seen it. I've seen it, beloved, from where I've come from in western Pennsylvania. It's a gospel wasteland. It's a Charles Finney burned out district. Why? Because there was an entire generation where this responsibility to pass on the truth beginning in the family itself was neglected by parents, and an entire generation was lost. And I've seen the firsthand devastation that it brings. This is actually the very truth that God used to burden my heart to come here. It's so important to my heart. I wanted to share it with you this morning. As I was seeking God's will regarding coming to this church, I was reminded that as a servant of Christ, God never calls you to go where it's easy. He always calls you where you can make the greatest impact for Christ. And as it began to become evident that God was calling me here, I asked myself, why? Why would God be calling me from western Pennsylvania, where there's a very clear gospel need, to West Liberty, where people nickname it the Celestial City? Why? And it really crystallized in my mind when someone told me that regarding the moral decay of our time, West Liberty is about one generation behind. How has God used my time in western Pennsylvania to prepare me for my ministry here? Well, here's one major way, I believe. It has shown me what will happen if we do not reach this generation right here and right now for Jesus Christ. Let me tell you what West Liberty will look like in just 10 years if we don't fulfill the Great Commission right now, right here in our own community and in our own families. It looks like a generation across the board devastated by drugs, devastated by rampant immorality, devastated by witchcraft and the occult, devastated by alcoholism. It looks like a generation that, as Paul put it, is godless, hopeless, faithless, ruthless. And most heartbreaking of all, it looks like an entire generation utterly and apart from a miracle of God's saving grace, eternally lost. Coming out of families that believed the gospel. It's where your community doesn't even know that your church exists. And they say things like, there's a church up that street? All of that is one generation away if nothing is done to reach this generation right here and right now for Jesus Christ. If fathers keep on giving their time and energy to money and careers over marriage and parenting, if mothers keep teaching their children that faith and obedience to Jesus Christ is a personal thing that should not be imposed, if parents keep viewing corporal discipline as, at its best, optional, if churches just concern themselves with staying busy and staying open, if congregations keep supplanting the gospel with cheap grace and keep supplanting evangelism with political activism, if believers keep neglecting the hard labor of worshipful intercessory prayer, and if people keep refusing to ask hard questions and ministers keep refusing to give hard answers, then this is what this generation will look like in just one generation. Community will look like this. For 8 years, God gave me the blessed privilege to minister the Word of God in such a place, to be used by Him to pull people back, to bring healing, to do damage control in the midst of broken marriages, broken families, and broken people. It's hard. I want you to know, my first Sunday here, that I've not come here looking for easy. I've come here to do hard plowing work that makes you sweat and breaks your heart, threatens to rip your hand from the plow. I'm here to do hard things, and winning this generation for Jesus Christ here in this place, that is a battle I have come to be fully invested in. And this, because I've seen what it looks like if we fail and are complacent. This is the battle, and this is the task that is set before us as a church, and I hope all of you will take it to heart. To fulfill the Great Commission and be used by God to reach this generation right here and right now with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So listen and take to heart, brothers and sisters, the principle of Moses' warning. The gospel comes with no grandchildren. You cannot ride the coattails of your parents into the kingdom of heaven. You yourself must come and embrace the gospel of Jesus Christ yourself by faith and by force. You must recognize that you're a sinner, that you're under the just wrath of God, that hell is yours if you do not call out in repentant faith for mercy and grace at the hands of Jesus. You yourself must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ if you are to be saved. You must take God's word to heart. And for those of you who have, keep holding God's word up to your heart that you may be equipped this week to share the saving message of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world, and for some of you, and perhaps for many of you, to lost and dying children and grandchildren and neighbors and friends and co-workers. You must take God's word to heart that you may carry out the Great Commission beginning here at home. I wish I could talk about this more. Fathers, fathers, do family devotions of some sort. Keep on experimenting until you find something that works. Leave that demanding promotion in the dust and bring your children up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Pass it on. Wives, cheer on your husbands in their efforts. and teach doctrine to your children. Train up your children, not in the way that they choose to go, but in the way that they should go. Pass it on. Pass it on. Elders, leaders, teachers, look for faithful believers who, when hearing the word of God, hold it fast with an honest and a good heart. And the things that you have learned from others, entrust to them so that they can teach others also. Pass it on. Older men, show and tell the younger men how to submit to Christ and love their wives. Older women, show and teach the younger women how to submit to Christ and love their husbands. Pass it on. Keep on taking God's word to heart, because it is the commission that starts right here at home. Because, think about it, what's the point if you minister and evangelize and send missions money to the ends of the earth and yet lose your own children and your own family and your own neighbors? The truth comes with a commission. Pass it on. Pass it on, Grace Chapel. Pass it on. You must take God's word to heart because of its commission. Second, you must take God's word to heart because of its character. It's the beginning of verse 47. These go quickly. For it is no empty word for you, but your very life. You ought to keep holding God's word up close to your heart daily. Why? Because your life depends on it. It really does. Moses says, for it is no empty word for you. You see, contrary to the perception of the world, and often the deception of our own hearts, God's word is not empty. It is not worthless, truthless, profitless, powerless. It is not a waste of time, energy, or attention. God's word is worth all the time, all the energy, and all the attention you can ever possibly give it. Every single word of it is, as Paul said in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by God and is therefore profitable. It's no empty word for you, but it is, as it says here, your very life. In other words, God has written this word for you for the express purpose that you might have life, real life, true life, eternal, spiritual life in His presence forever. That is why this book is written, that you might have life. Or more precisely, to point you to Him who is the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus Christ. He is our life, Colossians 3 verse 4 says, and Scripture is written, according to Galatians 3:24, to lead us to Christ, to make us wise to salvation. How? Through faith in Christ Jesus. There is no life apart from Him, and you can never know Him apart from the Word of God. 1 Peter 1:23 makes it very clear we are born again through the living and abiding Word of God. Scripture is the means by which we come to know, believe, and receive afresh new glimpses of Christ daily. Christ who is our life. That's why Philippians 2 verse 16 says this, hold fast to the Word of life. James 1:27, receive with meekness the implanted Word which is able to save your souls. Proverbs 4 verse 13, keep hold of instruction, do not let her go, for she is your life. This is why you ought to take God's word to heart, not only because of its commission, but because of its character. It is that perfect law of the Lord, Psalms 19 verse 6 says, that enlivens the soul. I wish I could go all the way through Psalms 19 this morning, but the word of God is what gives us zeal, gives us understanding, gives us wisdom, gives us joy, gives us clarity. In short, God's word is what gives us life. When our soul clings to the dust, Psalms 119:25 says, God gives us life through His word. Do you need encouragement? Do you need strength? Do you need hope and a reason and a purpose for living? Get into God's word. It is your life. It points you to the life of Christ, the life of God Himself. That's why Deuteronomy 8 verse 3 says, man does not live by bread alone, but man does live by every word that comes out of the mouth of the Lord. Your life depends on it. So start drinking deeply of the life of God early and often. Yes, I know this is basic. Are you reading the Word of God yourself? For this is no empty word for you. It is your very life. The life of this church depends on it. Take God's word to heart because of its commission, because of its character, and finally, take God's word to heart because of its consequence. That's at the end of verse 47. where Moses says, "And by this word you shall live long in the land that you are going over the Jordan to possess." In other words, take God's word to heart, because if you do, you will receive the blessing that God has promised to those who obey. Just as Paul reminds us in Ephesians 6, verse 3, what was the first commandment with promise? It was, honor your father and your mother. And then he says, why? That it may go well with you. Right? There is an earthly benefit to heeding heavenly wisdom. Proverbs 3, 21 through 26 says this, "My son, do not lose sight of these. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, and they will be life for your soul and adornment for your neck. Then you will walk in your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. If you lay down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror or of the ruin of the wicked when it comes, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your feet from being caught." Take God's word to heart because of its consequence. It will go well with you. Now, here in Israel's case, I need to be clear before I leave you with that. In Israel's case, they were promised back in Deuteronomy chapter 5 and chapter 11 and elsewhere that if they walked after God and followed closely after him, they would live a long and a prosperous life in the land of Canaan. Well, that was a specific promise that God made to Israel to demonstrate his special covenant relationship with them as a nation. God, in essence, said to them, if you take my word to heart, I will do what I have promised. You will enjoy my promised blessings. Well, we as New Testament believers have not been promised a land in which we will live long and prosper. At least not on this planet anyway. But we have been promised over 250 promises in the New Testament. From salvation to sin to the indwelling power of the Spirit to comfort in every affliction to mercy and peace and grace and joy and forgiveness and answered prayer to preservation through persecution. To the Lord's return and with him life, honor, glory, joy, peace, and rest forever. In short, we are promised Christ and every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in him. We are promised every good thing. If we take God's word to heart, you can stake your life on it. It will go well with you. Just as Jesus promised in John chapter 10, "I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Therefore," verse 27, "hear my voice and follow me." Now, this does not mean that our life will be easy. But if we follow closely after Jesus and take his word to heart, it does mean your life will be good. Eternally, deeply, spiritually good. So take God's word to heart. Take God's word to heart. This is the heart of the matter. It is the very best ending for a very best beginning. Take God's word to heart. Hold God's word up close to your heart this week, until it changes you and becomes a part of you. Three quick suggestions on how to do that practically. First, read it. Read it. Ezekiel 3 verse 10 says this, "O son of man, hear all my words that I shall speak to you. Receive them in your heart." And then he says this, "Hear them with your ears." Taking God's word to heart simply begins by reading it. So resolve this week to pick up the word of God every day and read it. Second, write it. Write it. Earlier in Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 18, Moses says that the king of Israel was to learn to keep all the words of God from the heart. And how was he to do that? By writing for himself in a book a copy of this law. One of the best ways that you can hold God's word up to your heart in an extended way is by writing it down, by forcing yourself to think about every word that is written. One activity that was extremely helpful to me in one of the busiest times of my life was I bought a notebook, and when I read God's word for the day, I would write down one or two or three verses that had really stood out to me, and it helped me meditate on the truth of God's word. It helped me to slow down and study it. And also, by the way, it provided an excellent resource later for memorization. Read it, write it, and finally, repeat it. Repeat it. Again, listen to Deuteronomy 6, verse 6. Moses says this, "These words I command you today shall be on your heart." And how were they to get them there? Verse 7, "You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise." You got to use it, or you're going to lose it. You've got to share God's word, or it will leave you. and depart. In other words, repeat it over and over and over again. Teach them to your children. Talk about them everywhere you go. Share what you have learned from this message this morning and pass it on to others if you want to retain it. Secular educators have actually come to realize that one of the best ways you can have students remember something is to have them handle information in multiple ways. Congratulations! They've learned what God's Word has been teaching all along. Read it, write it, repeat it. Take God's Word to heart, beloved. Take God's Word to heart. Why? Because of its commission. Others need to hear the truth of God's Word. You have been appointed by God to be the one that shares it with them. Take the Word of God that you've heard and share it with others. It comes with a commission. You ought to take God's Word to heart because of its character. God's Word is not a waste of time. It's your very life. Give yourself to it. And finally, God's Word must be taken to heart because of its consequence. If you live in God's world according to God's wisdom, it will go well with you eternally and spiritually. So because of its commission, character, and consequence, we are reminded this morning to take God's Word to heart. To read it, to write it, to repeat it. Why? Because this is no empty word for you. It is your very life. It is our life. And so let us devote ourselves to it as a church. This is the word of God from Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 45 through 47, which I now commit to your further study and your faithful obedience. To that end, as the men come forward for communion this morning, let's pray that God would apply this to our hearts. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the awesome privilege it is to come beneath your word. Father, we thank you that we who were dead in our trespasses and sins have been made alive through faith in Christ Jesus, and that faith you gave us by your grace through the hearing of your word. It truly is our life. Father, help us not to neglect it this week, but help us to take your word to heart, for there is a world that needs to hear it. There is a soul that needs to be changed within us, and there is a life that needs to be lived on a daily basis for your honor and for your glory. So help us, O Lord, not to neglect this truth, not to believe the world's lies, but help us to cling to it this week so that we can honor you in every circumstance you bring our way. May we be guided as your sheep according to your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.